Today, I'm going to teach you how to do something that you used to do for the devil, but now you're going to do it wide open, radically, for the kingdom of God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're going to find out the reason you were actually born today. Are you ready? 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 7, please. Yes. John is speaking and he makes this statement. And we've been speaking a lot about deception and everything that the Bible talks about concerning the last days. John is saying, the Apostle John says, little children, because we are called the children of God. Little children, let no one deceive you. No one, let no one deceive you. The only way that you can stay safe from deception is if you know the truth. Because deception basically is a lie. But the lie can have some truth in it. So you need to be able to discern. This is a day and a time that we need to be discerning concerning what we're being taught, what people are saying, and the voices that we're hearing in the nation today and around the world. And here's what he says. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. I love that. Notice he says practices righteousness. That means practices living the way God desires and wants us to live. And of course, that's in the Bible too. Just as he is righteous. He who sins. Now that word there, sins, means this. He who continues to sin. This is his or her occupation. He who sins or continues to sin or practice sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. It's not just talking about the beginning of the earth. He sinned in heaven, got kicked out of heaven and came to the earth. And then he deceived Eve. Adam was not deceived and got them to disobey God. Now watch this. He who sins of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He was born. He appeared. He came to this earth. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy the works of the devil. So the question is, what are the works of the devil? Because the Bible tells us when Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, he said this. He said, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. So what are the works of the devil? Number one, we know the number one thing is sin. Because the Bible says right here, he sinned from the beginning. So what is the word sin? What does this word actually mean? It means acting in disobedience to God's will, which is his word. It is acting and living independently from God instead of living totally dependent on him, his word, and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. To put it in a nutshell, it basically is this. It is rebellion to God. Whatever God says, I rebel against it. How do I rebel against it? By acting and doing just the opposite of what God said. It is living life and believing Satan's lies that there is no God, there is no heaven, and there is no hell. First of all, hell was created for Satan and all of the angels that sinned or rebelled against God. Hell was never created for one human being to be there. But if I make a decision to live independently from God and won't receive his gift, his grace, his gift of salvation that he sent to us, then I am coming along aside the rebellion of Satan. I am choosing Satan over God. That is a bad choice. Amen. So the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 3 and 4. It says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. And by the way, God said this in 2 Peter. He said, I wish that none would perish. That's God's desire. God doesn't want any human being to perish at all. He doesn't desire anybody to go to hell. People think that God just wants to send people to hell. You don't know the God that's in the Bible. You don't know the God who is love. Because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to die for each and every one of us. So now watch this. Here is who is blinding the eyes, the spiritual eyes of people that are in darkness from understanding and receiving the good news of the gospel. Satan, who is the god of this world, little g, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. In other words, the devil does everything he can to make you think that Jesus is not real, that even God doesn't exist, or God is not real. And so when I'm born into this earth, I'm born with the nature of Adam. I'm born with a sin nature. And in that, I'm blinded, spiritually ignorant to the truth of who God is, who Jesus is, and what God says about me and how I was actually really created and how I was born into this earth. And so when I'm born into this earth, I'm born because Adam, who's the head of the whole human race, passed down his act of disobedience, passed down the nature of sin to every single one of us. But the Bible says Jesus was the second Adam. Listen to Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And when we talk about sin, we're talking about sin, sickness, disease, infirmity. This is the reason, that statement that I just made right there, that is the reason that we have ambulances, hospitals, cemeteries. I could go on and on and on. Wars, hatred, racism. I could just continue to move forward and just bring out all of these things that were not in this world with the way God created it. Because when God created this world, everything he saw was very good. It was good. So it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. But ladies and gentlemen, God did not leave us under the power of Satan and sin. He didn't do that. Matter of fact, when Adam sinned right in the garden in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, God prophesied concerning our salvation and our deliverance. Listen to Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 15 through 17. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. I love the way this is worded. His gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace. What is his grace? God's grace is God gives us everything that he has, including himself, everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need. Grace is that God gave us everything, bestowed his love and blessings upon us when we didn't deserve it. We did not deserve it, and God gave it to us anyway. And what is his mercy? Because we talk about grace and mercy. His mercy is he doesn't give us what we did deserve. Thank you for that thunderous silence. Is this, this is exciting to me. Are y'all awake this morning? Come on. Come on, somebody. I need you to get this and to understand it. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. Even though we were guilty of many sins, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are in right standing with God. Nobody can take that away. Nobody can take that away. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Sin does not have power over you. Satan does not have power over you. You have power over him and everything that belongs to his kingdom. So sin was number one. There's so many things that I could say here, but I want to hit what I consider the three top categories. Sin being number one. Number two is sickness, disease, infirmity, mental illness, and depression. And for some reason, we have totally forgotten, because of all of our great science and technology and all of these things, we have forgotten that this stuff comes from the devil. It comes from the kingdom of darkness. Listen to real quickly to Luke, the 13th chapter. I'm not going to read all of it, but it says this. It says, now Jesus, or he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day, verse 11, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Everybody say spirit of infirmity. 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Now, if doctors were examining and looking at things like this, they would give their best diagnosis, call it what they know in medicine it was, but their x-rays, MRIs, whatever it may be, cannot pick up a spirit of infirmity. This is spiritual. That's the reason the Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So he says, but when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And then he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But then the religious folks got really upset. Religion is mean. Religion could care less if somebody gets healed or blessed or whatever. They're always putting stuff down. They're always attacking. They're always calling the very things that Jesus does and what God does, they're calling it, well, that's just from the devil. No, the devil is what put this sickness and this infirmity on this woman. It is a spirit of infirmity, and Jesus came to take it off. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. This was a work of the devil. They said, you shouldn't do this, especially on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered and said, hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall, lead it away to water it? Listen to what he says in verse 16. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, in other words, in covenant, and you and I are the seed of Abraham, but we are even better than that. We're the sons and daughters and the children of the living God. So he asked them a question. Should not this woman who is an daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Absolutely. Should not people today, right now, be loose from infirmity and sickness and the disease? He said all these things, his adversaries were put to shame. Listen to what it says in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 16 and 17. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons. Demons are still operating in people's lives today. Even Christians are being tormented by demons, tormented by the spirit of fear, being attacked. He said, when evening came, they brought him many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word. I love that. He didn't say a sentence. Sometimes we got to go through, we got to have a dissertation in trying to cast something out or dealing with people. We have to go, we feel like that if we pray long, that we have more power. No. The word of God, just one word. Peter got out of the boat and walked on one word, come. So I know what Jesus said. The Bible says he casts out demons with the finger of God. Not his hand or just the finger. Here he casts out devils with the word, with just one word. What was that word? Go! Go! So he said, so he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored health to all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah, so that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53. Jesus, he himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases. It's okay if I say something. Quit carrying what Jesus has already carried for you. I'm telling you, I've been walking with the Lord for 50, right at 50 years, and I'm telling you, I'm getting back to where I used to be, walking with boldness and declaring the Word of God and confessing the Word of God and speaking the Word of God. Listen to 1 Peter 2:24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune to the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds, or by his stripes, you who believe have been, past tense, have been healed. You have been. When were you healed? On the cross. You need to start declaring your rights. You need to start speaking to things that are coming to you that are illegal and trespassing. The word heal there in the Greek means to heal, to cure, to restore to bodily health, to free from errors of sin, and to bring about one's salvation. So in other words, that one scripture covers spirit, soul, and body. Anything that has to do with sickness, disease, and infirmity, you have your God-given right through the covenant to stand on what you believe, to declare the Word of God, to speak the Word of God, to take authority over anything that is illegal concerning what Jesus took upon himself, you can stand against. You stand against it in faith. Number three, we got sin, sickness, disease. Number three, anything that has to do with stealing, killing, and destroying. Anything that steals or has stealing as a part of it in your life, anything that has to do with killing, Well, you know, God needed another angel, so he took him. I want you to come up after service and give me the scripture for that. I can already tell you, it's not in the Bible. God is not the one who brought an 18-wheeler through a red light because he needed another angel. Angels are created being by God. They're not even created in the image of God. We're the only ones created in the image of God. God did not take that person. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that has to do with stealing, killing, and destroying is coming not from God. If that was the key, if that was so, then Jesus and God are at odds with one another. If God was putting all of this stuff on people when Jesus got here, then they are not in agreement with one another because Jesus was taking everything off of people that the devil was putting on people. He, not one time did Jesus say, my Father put this on you for a purpose and a reason. Not one time. Not one time did he say that. And you know what? Religious people get so upset with this because they believe with all their heart that things that have come on them are coming on them from God. That God put this on me. This is my cross to bear. Give me scripture. This is my cross. Jesus never said that to one person. Well, God's teaching me something, and if he wants to teach, what is he teaching? I'm like Jesus. I am so mad at religion. So many of God's people are suffering. And they you go to pray for. I went to pray for somebody one time. God put this on me, so I'm just going to receive this. And you know, it's the craziest thing. You can't talk them out of it. We have people in pulpits that are preaching based upon what they learned from someone else who has never, ever experienced anything as far as the power of God, the Word of God, at all. It's crazy. And people listen. And people get so confused. I wish we would just simply read the Bible, as simple as it is, and get over into the New Testament and just read and hear what I want. Here's what I want you to do. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want you to go through it. I want you to tear the pages up. I want you to go take a magnifying glass so you don't miss anything. And I want you to show me where Jesus put sickness on somebody. Or disease on somebody. Or said, my Father put that on you to teach you something. I saw everybody I see coming to Jesus saying, Lord, you have the power if you're willing. I don't know if you're willing because I see myself as worthless. I see myself as no good, as I don't deserve anything. If you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus turns around immediately and says, I will. I'm just going to kick over some sacred cows of tradition. And if we're going to kick them over, we might as well go ahead and kill them, cut them up, make some hamburger and some steak and eat that sucker. Listen to this. Anything that has to do with stealing, killing, and destroying. That hurricane is not from God. If you think it's from God, nobody's going to pray. Jesus went in a boat and a hurricane force wind, the Bible says, hurricane force wind came against him. And he stood up and rebuked it. If it came from God, he just rebuked his father. He rebuked it because it was coming to sink the boat, to sink the ship, and to kill everybody on board. Well, we just spent a whole weekend last weekend roaring like lions. We might as well go ahead and roar. Listen to this. Anything that has to do with stealing, killing, and destroying. John 10:10. Jesus is saying this. Everybody say, Jesus. Jesus, the thief, speaking of the devil, comes only in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. Jesus, number two, Jesus came to destroy, annihilate, break, put off, and to loose any person tied up, bound, or chained, to set free, to dissolve, to release from bondage, to discharge from prison, to overthrow and demolish and to remove. That's what the word, when he says he came to destroy the works of the devil, that means he came to annihilate them. He came to break them off. He came to loose any person, and we just saw that with that woman. He came to set people free. He came to release people from bondage. For this purpose, again, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And by the way, how did he do that? Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, and how he went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. But now, it's not just Jesus getting all the fun to destroy, to tear down, to break down, to annihilate the works of the devil. Now, you and I, as the sons and the daughters of the living God, listen to this, we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that resides and lives on the inside of us. Listen to what Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, verse 12 through 14. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, he who believes in me. He didn't say pastors and evangelists and apostles and prophets. He said, all of that's in there, but he says, he who believes in me. If you're a believer, the works that I do, he will do also. Man, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In other words, in verse 13, he says, whatever you make a demand on in my name. You don't put a demand on God, you put a demand on the devil. You put a demand on his works. How can we do this? How can we do this? Do the same works. You must be born again. You must be born again from on high. The Spirit of the living God must come to live on the inside of you. It says this, Jesus said this in John 3:3. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22 says, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." If you want to stay in Adam, you'll die. That means separated from God forever. Eternal punishment and eternal death. But in Jesus, I live. I am made alive. Praise God. I love it. Because Galatians 3:26 says this, "For you are all the sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ." You are the sons of the living God. You are the sons of God. If you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, you're the son and the daughter of the living God. And it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit with power. Jesus didn't do one thing until he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he went out doing good, healing all. The power, the ability was there. It is the same thing that Jesus said to them, to the disciples, and the same thing he says to us today. Don't go anywhere without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. You have to be born again to go to heaven. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need it to do the works of Jesus. To have the boldness and the power to do the works of Jesus. Jesus said this. He said in Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when power, the power of God, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, for you shall be witnesses." You won't be a namby-pamby Christian. You won't be this weak-willed, no backbone Christian. You won't be this kitty cat. You will be a lion. You will be a roar with a lion. You will be bold to do the works of Jesus. You will receive power and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's Fayetteville, Cumberland County, Robeson County, Sampson County, Bladen County, America, and around the world. You and I are born again too. T-O. Born again too. What does "to" mean? It means to express motion toward. It means movement and direction. David running to Goliath. What were you born again to? You were born again to raise. To raise. R-A-Z-E. The word "raise" means to tear down, to demolish, to overthrow, to smash, to decimate, to delete, to overturn, to remove, to undo, to loose, to pull down, to throw down, to ruin, wipe out, and obliterate. You were born again to raise hell! Again, to tear down, to demolish, to overthrow, to smash, to decimate, to delete, to overturn, to remove, to undo, to loose, to pull out, throw down all the works of the devil. You were born again to raise hell. I wish somebody would shout in this house. Listen. I told you I was going to put together a t-shirt. Jesus said, I'll watch Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Then he said, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions, the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, Satan. And nothing by any means will harm you. Jesus said, I also say to you that you are Peter, Petros, Little Rock. And on this rock, Petra, I will build my church. What is that rock? The revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And what does it say about us as a church? Paul said in Ephesians, the third chapter, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are called to destroy the works of the devil. You are called to smash and tear down everywhere he shows up, any place, no matter where it is. Quit running from him. Quit being full of fear. Stand up. Be the man and woman of God that you are in the power of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God, taking the sword of the Spirit, taking the keys of the kingdom. It is time for the church to rise up and to roar and to be the men and women and to be the children of God, so that the world can see Jesus. We are the light of the world. We're not pathetic, we're prophetic. That's who we are. You say, well, I don't feel like that. It's got nothing to do with your feelings. It's got everything to do with who lives on the inside of you. I thank God for feelings, but I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I live by faith. I speak faith. It's time for some of you to go to your own home and kick him out. Take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, praying with boldness, praying the word, believing, instead of praying like you're wishing and hoping and coping. Pray with boldness. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Somebody get some fire. Somebody get some fire. Somebody get some fire. Hallelujah. If you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God, you need to get it done today. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. The greatest miracle in the world can take place right now in your own heart, in your own life. You can be born again. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship with God. You can be born again. You can sit in a church for 100 years and never be born again. You can sign up and be a member of the church and never be born again. You can be raised in a Christian home but never be born again. You're born again when you realize, I am a sinner, and without God, without Jesus, I am on my way to hell. That's eternity. When you die, your life just begins. This is a short life. you step into eternity, that's forever. God's gracious gift is this. He sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be liberated, so that we could come back into the family of God, so that God could come to live on the inside of you. That's the reason you try to fill that hole or that void on the inside of you. You can fill it with relationships and stuff and things all day long. You'll never be fulfilled. You have to go from one thing to another, but it'll never fill you up. You were created for God to live on the inside of you. You were created for God to lead you, guide you, and direct you according to your purpose and your destiny. And you have one. And it's very important to this earth that you know it and you find it and you walk in it. Today, I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, today to be born again, to have your sins forgiven, and God to come to live on the inside of you by His Spirit, you'll be a brand new person. And if you've been away from the Lord and said, I knew the Lord at one time, but I got in the way. I need to repent of my sins and come back. God said, if you repent of your sins, He said, you're back. I forgive you, and you're back. I'm going to pray. If you say, Pastor, you just spoke to me, that's me. And I want exactly what God has for me. I want to come out of where I'm at. I want to come into a brand new life. I want to come into the family of God. If that's you, you want to be in this prayer, all I want you to do right now, right where you are, just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. All over this auditorium, say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you, sir. Yes. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Yes, sir, God bless you. Anyone else say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Put your hands down. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Anybody else? Before we pray. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? See, we're taking back lives that Satan has had for all of these years. You don't belong to him. You belong to God. Anybody else before we pray? Get ready to pray. Anybody else? All right, we're going to pray. All of you that raised your hands. Yes, sir. God bless you. All of you that raised your hands, I want you to pray this with me. We're all going to pray out loud with you. Pray this with me. Father God, I thank you this morning for your love for me. I thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, who came to this earth and died on the cross, and you raised him from the dead. And Jesus Christ is alive. Today, I repent of all my sin, and I ask your forgiveness in Jesus' name. And this day, before heaven and earth, unashamedly, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, delivering me, and setting me free from all bondage, from sin. In the name of Jesus, I am free. I am free in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Before I was saved, I was R-A-I-S-E or R-S-I-N-G, raising hell for the kingdom of darkness. But now, because of Jesus, and it's not just me, it's my family. Come up here. We're born again. Husband and wife, children and grandchildren, born again to raise hell. I told our staff, I came in with this and I said, make me up a bunch of t-shirts. Remember when we did the No Fear t-shirts? That was years ago, and I see people all over the place with it. I said, put this on. I said, get me a t-shirt, and Pastor Chris designed it and put it together. And I said, give us a t-shirt, because bless God, we're going to let Fedville know. We're not going to be ashamed. We're not backing up to nothing. I'm going to let everybody know that I was born again to raise hell. So listen, I'm wearing this to work out. I'm wearing it to wherever I go. I'm going to let people know. Yes. And so if you want to get one, all right.
Hi. All right. So I'll take over. Real quick, just so everyone knows, all the proceeds that we are going to be, with all the shirts purchases, all the proceeds are going to be going towards our Faith Forward in the children's building. We actually... if you haven't had a chance to pop over there, we do have some pictures that we can show you real quick of kind of, that's the t-shirt, that's cool. We'll get it eventually.
There you go.
There we go. So this is a brand new playground for our small kids that we've just put in. And then, so that's cool. And then on the inside, you should totally go check it out, even if you don't have kids. Like, just go walk through. We've got paint on the wall. John Scholl, he's been our creative director and all this, has been doing an amazing
awesome.
Job.
Incredible.
So going in, we've got new paint on the wall. And within the next few months, all these different elements that we've got, some wallpaper coverings, some floors, all that's going to be redone. And if you've ever seen Toy Story and you've walked into Pizza Planet, that's essentially what all of our kids are going to be walking into. To, again, make it be like, dude, you got to come check out my church, bro. Like, when you walk in there, it's really cool. So that's what we're going to be going for with that. So this is a limited edition shirt. Say this with me. You have 1 month. To get this shirt. After 1 month, you will not be able to get this shirt anymore.
Limited edition.
Limited edition. So for the month of September, we have this available. Now, what we went ahead and did was we did a nice little smallish bulk order, which we have available in our Cove, which is right in there. And then we also have another setup in our city square. So go check it out. We have a handful of these, which is front and back. We have a few with just the back on it. But what you can do is go to our website. You can scroll down to the bottom. You'll see a little link for shop. Or you can just go to mycl.shop and you can order one. So if we ran out of your size today, no worries. You can still get one. We also have them for infants, because I thought that was a cool feature to have. So, hey, why not raise them right?
Yeah.
So we have them for youth. We have the youth sizes, and we have a really neat hoodie, because it's about to be winter. So why not rock out a hoodie as well? So we have those different types of things that you can get. It's really easy. Go on there. Select what you want, how many you want. Check out. And then it'll be sent to you, and let's see, it's like once the order is placed, about 7 business days and such. So what we're going to do is on September 15th, we are going to have a Born Again to Raise Hell t-shirt day. So on September 15th, everybody wear your shirts. So you got a good little buffer, so if you run out of your size, no worries, you have plenty of time to get an order in. We have people that can assist you with that if you need help in the back as well. So highly encourage y'all. Again, this is all going towards our kids and everything we're doing over there. And in the future, we'll be doing other limited edition type shirts. So,
And once they order it, how many days?
Once they order it, it takes about anywhere from 5 to 7 days to be filled. Usually it's a little quicker than that, I should say. And what's really cool is the place that is printing our shirts is in Charlotte, so it only really takes about a day or two to get to you. So all that's up there. We have the prices in the back. You can see on the back wall, we have a few of the pictures streaming of different things we have. And again, in this cove and then in City Square, we have them. Guys, y'all are the first service. We have only ordered 750 shirts. So go get them, Tiger. And if you don't leave any for second service, well, that's too bad for them. They should have come to first service.
Amen.
All right. So that's all we got, y'all.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say this with me. I am born again to raise hell. God is not coming back for a weak, impotent church full of fear. He's coming back for a glorious church, a powerful church that He created. Can you say amen?